The other meditative practice you learned is the Kaf meditation, which I'll go into in some detail, which is what we do at the beginning of the morning meetings. You notice morning meetings, we begin them with the Kaf meditation, because we recommend that you do it in the morning each day for 15, 20 minutes by yourself. After you do the sensing, looking, listening, they don't need to be together. You can do it a little later. Some people prefer to do it other time of the day, like evening, that's fine. Traditionally, it's done in the morning. Meditation practices are traditionally done in the morning, unless you do two. Then you do one in the morning, one in the evening. If you're going to be like the Dalai Lama, for instance, you do 2 hours of practice in the morning and 2 hours of practice in the evening. That's what he does. But you could do 15 in the morning. You'd be a mini Dalai Lama. It works, actually, the more you do. That's the nature of the spiritual path. As much as developing many skills and honing many capacities, and that requires practice. That's why they're called practice. So in the Kaf meditation, you of course sit comfortably on a zafu or on a chair, and you have your hands together, and it is like this. The right hand grabs the left hand, and you bring it to the belly. That way it forms the, you know, yin-yang symbol. You hold it to the belly. And then you, with the eyes closed, because it is a concentration practice, it's called a concentration practice. Because the spiritual practices, some of them are called concentration. Not all are called concentration. And this mudra is called a containment mudra. Like this mudra is not a containment mudra. This mudra is a containment. Containment means containing the energy. And the concentration practice of the Kaf is containing the energy and increasing it so it develops. And then with the eyes closed, mouth slightly open, but not too open for flies to get in. Slightly open so you can breathe. And with your tongue touching the upper palate. That way, having energetic connection between the upper brain and the rest of the body. The flow, energy flows that way. And then you become aware of your breathing in the belly. You become aware of your breathing, but usually in the Kaf meditation, we want you to focus on the belly breathing. Like if you do mindfulness meditation, they tell you to be aware of breath, and they mean breath in general. The Kaf meditation, the belly is important. That's why it's Kaf. Kaf is in the belly. It's different from mindfulness practice in terms of breath. So you become aware of the breath in the belly, rising over the belly, coming down the belly, inhalation and exhalation. So first you start with that, so that until you become aware of your belly and the breath, feeling the breathing, which can mean mostly just aware of the movement of the belly, and some can feel actually the breath. And then when that established, you focus on what we call the point of the Kaf, which is a center, a subtle center in the belly, which is about 2 fingers below the navel, I mean three fingers below the navel, and 2 fingers inside the belly. So it's not on the surface of the belly, it's inside, 2 fingers inside, 3 fingers below the navel, and there is no physical organ that corresponds to it. So you're not looking for a physical organ. It's not one of the chakras. It is one of the, what we call the three centers, the belly, the heart, and the head centers. It's a different system of centers that is deeper than the chakra. The chakra system, it has seven, or if you follow Tibetan system, five. But then there's the other system called the three-center system, or three-brain system. That Gurdjieff called it three-brain being. Human being a three-brain being meant having three centers. The belly has to do with movement, and the body and embodiment and all that. The heart has to do with heart, feeling, sensitivity, and the mind, of course, with intellect, knowing, perception, all of that. So basically, it's dividing consciousness into three modes, the three primary modes. So we focus in the beginning, the first couple of years of our groups, on the Kath meditation, because the Kath is sort of the root center. It is, in the sense, it is the root of the tree. If you develop the Kath center, you're developing the root of the tree of your subtle physiology, of your inner body. And the stronger the root and the deeper they are, the more stable is the tree. So if you start with the heart, with the head, they could develop that, but then your tree is wobbly, could fall, you know, could fall or break. But if you strengthen the belly center at the beginning, you develop that first, which is not easy. It's one of the hardest to develop. It takes time and perseverance. You're developing a good foundation, strong rooting, plus the fact that you're staying in touch with your body, just like the sensing, looking, listening. You're grounding your experience in the belly instead of the head. If you really focus on the calf, you cannot engage in thinking. You know, your thinking mind sort of drops and slows down if you really succeed in focusing, concentrating on the calf. And of course, when you concentrate in that area, it does not mean from the beginning you will find the point that we call the Kath. For some people, it takes years to feel the actual Kath. You know, you at the beginning, you just want to sense physically that area, just the fleshiness of that area of the belly. You want to sense. Most people can't sense there, because most people can sense their arms, but to sense inside the belly, not easy. For some people, they encounter emptiness or blockage or tension. So it might not be easy. And if you have those issues like fear or emptiness or tension there, talk with your private teacher. Your private teacher can help you with that, to get through that barrier, so that that area becomes open and accessible, and then you can there focus on that area. The more you focus in it physically, in time, the Kath center will manifest as a bubbling or energy or heat or throbbing or all kind of thing can happen. There's no one way of experiencing the Kath, but it's not usually a dramatic experience. It's more like that something really happened down the belly that brings my attention down the belly. And we want to bring our attention down the belly because we are in the body, we are in the here and now, we are in the world. Because our approach of this teaching is to be in the world, even though we're learning we're not of it by learning our true nature or spiritual nature. But we live normal life in the world. So the belly meditation or the Kath meditation is very helpful that way. And although, even though some people find it difficult at the beginning to practice it, but you could persevere and work with the obstacles by yourself or with a teacher if you're working with a teacher. And in time, it pays off tremendously. It's not obvious at the beginning. It takes time. It's something that grows and develops and ripens, and you know, just like a seed that first sprouts roots, and from that comes a tree that can have flowers and fruits. So the it's called a concentration, meaning you want to focus there without losing the focus. Concentration means not being distracted from the focus. You stay with the focus of attention or awareness, regardless what happens, regardless whatever other feelings you have, thoughts, things happening in the environment, you just stay with that place. Your attention from everywhere, from all directions, your attention is focused there. I mean, physically, emotionally, mentally, all of it. You're not thinking about the cath, you're sensing the area. I remember doing it for years, and I was doing it twice a day, you know, plus other meditation. And it was really during one of the cath meditation that I discovered presence. The presence arose, and I learned it directly in my experience, as that is what I am. So it can be that powerful. So that's what we do in the morning meditation, and of course we recommend you practice it every day because it takes time to develop the skill. The concentration is a skill. In the yogic practices, they do concentration meditation every day for like an hour or so for several years before they really hone down the skill of concentration. To be able to be concentrated, meaning you become one-pointed uninterruptedly without effort. At the beginning takes effort because your mind wanders. So when your mind wanders and you become aware your mind wanders, you bring your attention back to the... So it's normal that your mind wanders, your attention goes away. Normal for most people because that's what human beings do. They're all over the place. They're not focused, not centered. Here you're centering yourself in the cath. So if your mind, if you notice your mind wanders or you get distracted by one thing or another, the moment you become aware, you get distracted, you come back. You don't attack yourself. Remember, there's nothing wrong. That's what usually happens. Just bring it back. You're practicing, you know. And so when the concentration is really developed, you can stay focused on the cath without interruption, without distraction for the whole 15 minutes. When that happens, the cath really begins to wake up. And when the cath wakes up, we not only feel embodied, it becomes easier to experience presence. We also develop our what we call subtle sensing. Subtle sensing is what is needed to experience presence, because presence is subtle sensing of consciousness. So subtle. So each sensory modality we have has an inner or subtle one. So seeing, there is inner seeing. Smelling, there's inner smelling. Sensing, there's inner sensing. Inner sensing doesn't mean just sensing your inside your body. It means sensing your spiritual nature, your consciousness. And that develops as the cath develops. So that's why people sometimes have a spiritual experience. They have even awakening. But they don't sense their presence. They just see it. they know it. Without sensing, without sensing it means they're not embodied. The presence is not full and strong. They're sort of light and clear, spacious, but to be full and really there, you need the sensing of presence. When you sense presence, it becomes easier to be the fullness, textures fullness of presence. So as you see, the Kath has many functions, and I'm just talking about some of them. You know, it is esoteric knowledge. And the Kath meditation is what Kath is what's referred to sometimes in Japanese as Hara, and the Chinese call it Dan Tien. That's used for martial arts. Martial arts, they try to develop the Kath because you want to move from the belly. See? And also, when we start, when we do the morning meditation, we do it with what we call the Om salutation. The Om salutation, we find it important because it is a reminder of what, why we're practicing. What's the practice about? The Om salutation is saluting true nature and dedicating the whatever benefit we get from the practice of the whole day, not just of the meditation, that the whole day to true nature, which is the source of the benefit anyway, and to all beings, including ourselves. So from the beginning, the attitude is not self-centered. The attitude is more the attitude of true nature. True nature is good for everybody, you and everybody else. So from the beginning, by doing an Om salutation, you're taking the attitude of your true nature, which is, it is for true nature and for everybody, all the being that can experience and can benefit from true nature. So that's a reminder. So, and a giving, an actual attitude of generosity of spirit and not aligning ourselves with the self-centeredness of the ego self, the personality. So it's a good thing to remind ourselves every morning. And here we do it, of course, in the morning meditation as a reminder. So we'll begin now with the Om salutation and then the Kath meditation. And when you hear the bell, it would be the end of the meditation.